The ancient castle in which Frank Chandler and the Regent family have been living has burned to the ground in a fire of mysterious origin from which they barely escaped. Carter Mason, American consul, invites him to stay at his home. While there, Dorothy receives a letter from her husband. Once reading it, she notices first that it is written on the same peculiar paper as that found in the underground room, and second, that the handwriting is not Regent's. The present act opens in the Café Vien Noir in Paris 2 evenings later.
Chandu, the magician.
And so Gustav opened this restaurant, and being very homesick for Vienna, he made it as much like a Viennese restaurant as he could, and called it Café Vien Noir.
Do all the people from Vienna come here, Uncle Frank?
There are a great many former Viennese living in Paris, and Gustav has tried to make this place seem like home to all of us. Waiters are Viennese and the orchestra and all that.
Frank, you're just telling us all these things to take our minds off Robert, aren't you?
Why, I thought the children would be interested in knowing about this place.
Sure we're interested, but when do we eat? I wish they'd bring us our dinner. I'm starved.
Yes, you would be. You have no soul at all. I think that's the reason you don't care about going to the Louvre, because they haven't a cafe.
Oh, stop, will you? Yes, hostilities concede for the moment. Here's the dinner.
Doesn't everything look good? Isn't it fun, Maggie?
No, where's in your belly?
And I went to school here. Yeah. You did? You've had a simply fascinating life, haven't you?
I hope you may never know such years, Deputy.
Don't think of it now, dear. I want you and Dorothy to forget anxiety for a little while. That's why I insisted on Dorothy coming with us tonight.
No, Chandu. I will help you to make her a little more happy if I can. Dorothy, you and Betty have been busy in the shops, eh?
Yes, we have.
Indeed, we have. We lost all our clothes in the fire at the castle.
Wasn't it lucky I had on that necklace you gave me, Maggie? The one you found in that old clearnet?
Did you, indeed?
Yes, I did. It would have broken my heart if that had been lost in the fire. I did lose that dress Mother sent down here to Paris to get for me for Mr. Mason's reception. It was the prettiest dress I ever had. But we went to see about it today, and they told me they'd make me another one just like it.
Ready for your soup, Betty?
Yes.
How'd you like to finish the dance, Betty?
Oh, I'd love it.
You don't mind your mother?
Of course not, son. What is it, Chandu? Why does that waiter look at you so strangely when he approaches the table?
I didn't notice it, Nigel. Did you, Frank?
Yes.
Who is it? Not someone you know.
I know who he is, and I think he knows me. It's the man who killed Lupu's brother.
Frank. But you won't tell Lupu you found him here, will you? He'll come down from Montebania and kill the man.
No, I won't tell him. But he'll find it out.
But how?
If he comes to this cafe, he'll surely see it.
But is Lupu coming to Paris?
Of course. As soon as I send for him.
Well, why don't you tell this man to go away?
You think this man should escape the penalty for killing the brother of Lupu, Dorothy?
No, of course not. But I think he should be turned over to the authorities. Lupu shouldn't kill him himself.
I know how you feel about it, Doc. I'll see what luck I have in persuading this fellow to go away from here. Here come the children. Let's not speak of this then.
Oh, Mother, isn't this possibly the most picturesque place you've ever seen? We danced over there near the orchestra, and they're all dressed up in the funniest clothes. There's one awfully good-looking one that must be a singer. He's just sitting there.
Oh, yes. I've heard him. He's very good.
Oh, ask him to sing. Will you, Uncle Frank?
Yes, if you like. What would you like to have him sing?
Oh, something romantic, I dare.
Yes, I would. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of in liking romance.
Of course not, Betty Lou.
Well, I would like to have him sing a love song. A beautiful one. That's the kind of song you always think about when you think about Vienna.
If he's been singing here long, he probably knows all the love songs from all over the world.
Well, ask him to sing one.
Otto?
Hey, look at him jump. What's the matter with him, do you suppose?
Look,
scared to
death. Otto, will you please ask your orchestra leader to have a song sung for these ladies? Don't stand there staring at me like that. Everyone in the cafe will notice. Tell the orchestra leader what I've said. And later I'll have a little talk with you.
Why, he just went away without saying a word.
Is he one of your men, Uncle Frank?
No.
Who is he then?
Oh, he's a man I met in Poland one time, years ago.
In Poland?
Yes.
Look, Betty.
There is a garden in my heart, all sweet and fresh with you. Its blossoms are my tenderest thought, its fragrant love for you. There is a place, there is my heart, a calm and holy end. I place your image in the shrine and sweetly worship there.
Pretty, Nagy?
Yes, indeed, Betty Lou.
I bet you even thought it was pretty, didn't you, Bob?
Well, sure I did. You needn't think just because I said that about you being so goofy about love songs, I can't appreciate good music.
You just wait. Someday you'll fall for a girl, and won't I have fun?
Oh, that's so. You know the kind of girl I like is Natasha.
Natasha? Are you still talking about her? Well, you only saw her once when you dragged her out of that slave place there in Alexandria. And then when she was there at Euphrates with us the next day before Uncle Frank sent her back to Spain or wherever it was.
Well, I know it.
But she couldn't speak a word of English.
Well, I don't care what you say. She's the kind of a girl I like. And someday if we ever get anywhere near where she lives, I'm going to go and see her.
Poor Judy's heart will be broken.
Oh, Betty, stop teasing Bobby about Judy.
Well, she's right here in Paris, Mother, and we might run into her any day.
And probably will.
Bobby, if you and Betty want to dance...
Trying to get rid of it?
No, of course not. I only meant we probably won't be here very long.
Oh, sure. Want to dance, Betty?
Uncle Frank, if we ever get settled down again for a few minutes, I'm going to give you some dancing lessons.
No, thank you, Betty Lou.
Well, why? I should think you'd like to.
Come on, Betty.
I was wondering how you were going to get rid of some coffee.
I thought if you wanted to talk to that waiter here in the cafe.
Yes. He's hovering around like a frightened bird. Otto.
You suppose he doesn't speak English? Oh, but Mark, he understood what you said to him about the orchestra.
Otto, have you some reason for not wishing to speak to me here?
No, I...
What's the matter with your throat? Something?
Yes, you have come to spy on me. Just when I feel safe.
You know the gypsy Lupu is looking for you.
Why should I not know it? He has followed me all over the world for 15 years.
You'd better go back to Poland and give yourself up to the authorities, Otto. Lupu will never rest till he finds you. I know that.
And now you will tell him?
I am not a murderer. But you'd better get out of here. Lupu will be in Paris any day now, and I can't keep him from killing you if he finds you.
But you do not know how I have suffered. How I have not had a room or even slept one night with fear for this gypsy and his knife. For the first time here in this cafe, I am peaceful. But now you come.
Murder and... comes high, you see, Otto. Don't look like that. Gustav is watching you. Put down the coffee cup and go.
He's gone. What a life. 15 years of running from Lupu.
And yet he killed Lupu's brother in cold blood. The night young Radislav was arrested.
Uncle Frank, guess who we saw just now going out the door? She turned her back on us so she wouldn't see us.
But not Judy.
No. It was the woman that used to work for Roxa. That told Mother Nagy was married to Roxa, remember? What was her name, Betty? Sonia Radislav here?
Yeah, that was her name, Sonia Radislav. She just went out.
I wonder if she saw us.
I wonder what she's doing in Paris. She must be...
Oh, Frank, don't think about that now. Tell me what you're going to do to find Robert. You haven't had any word from Mr. Dufresne, have you?
No. I went to his house, but they said he'd gone away and the servants didn't know where he was.
Well, can't you go to Robert's laboratory yourself and say he's all right? I know there must be something wrong. Why should anyone write me that letter?
I'll tell you what I've done, Doc. I sent one of my agents to the place where Robert's laboratory is. This man doesn't know Robert's there, of course. His laboratory is upstairs over the chemist's shop. We had to have some way of accounting for the supply of chemicals that Robert's always needing in his experiments.
Oh, yes.
I'm expecting this man to report to me here at any moment.
But, Dorothy, I think you should not be too much concerned about this letter. It may only be that someone has discovered how your husband has sent your letters to Mr. Mason there in Lvova and has written the letter to frighten you.
Yes, Doc, that's very plausible.
Why should anyone write this one to frighten me?
They know you tell me about it. And they would probably think that I'd go directly to Robert's laboratory and...
And there they might find you and kill you, Chandu.
Yes.
Who could it be?
First, we'll have to find out. There comes my man now. Gustav said he'd bring him to my table as soon as he arrived. Good evening, Leonard.
Good evening, sir.
Mrs. Nagy, I present Mr. Lenhardt.
How do you do?
Mrs. Regent, Mr. Lenhardt.
How do you do?
The pleasure is mine.
Miss Regent and Mr. Robert Regent second.
Have you been very happy?
Sit down, Carl. Tell me what you've learned.
I may speak freely?
Certainly.
I have called at the chemist shop when I have seen it is empty. The chemist is gone. So I have inquired at the cafe next door to the chemist shop, and he has said there have been no one in the chemist shop for more than a week.